Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Second Fiddle Comics Podcast, starring Mark Clare and Rimzo Martinez.
Happy Wednesday, Second Print Potters. I don't know, we probably need a better name for our fans than that. Second Print Nation, Second Print something, but welcome back to the Second Print Comics Podcast. Featuring I don't want to say number one host. One of your hosts, Mark Clare,
wow.
And of course, I'm the first one to speak today, so in order. But of course, as always, I'm here with my man, the rambling man himself, Rimzo Martinez. What's happening, brother?
What's going on, buddy? It's another day, another dollar, another day here at SPC. Yeah.
It is indeed. And, Rimzo, we're going to do today something a little bit different, break in format a little bit, as we're going to be doing a little bit over, well, I say the summer. It's not really the summer yet, but we're gonna kind of fudge it a little bit and say it is and start summer a little early, because we're going to do a little summer vacation series where we do a number of shows, kind of breaking from our normal format, partially because we want to, and it's fun to mix things up sometimes, but also because you and I have a crazy month or two ahead of us individually, and it's going to be hard for us to get together and do the same preparation we often do for our normal podcast. So we're doing our best to get ahead, get some other shows out for you guys, and experiment, do some interesting things along the way. So I'm excited about it. Are you?
Oh yeah, this is a season where everyone is finally leaving their homes after a few years locked inside. Things are opening up. The weather is nice if you're not here in Wisconsin, and we've just got a lot to look forward to. Movies are back. So why not go ahead and celebrate all the things we love the only way we know how, the SPC style?
Exactly. Well, speaking of movies, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be ranking the entire MCU. That's right. Ranking the MCU between Rimzo and I. Before I do that, of course, I want to remind you, follow us. Don't follow us, in your car or, in our personal lives. That would be weird. But follow us on social media. We are at Second Print Pod anywhere you can imagine. Twitter at Second Print Pod, Instagram at Second Print Pod. And of course, if you really, really want to give us some of your hard earned money and hear all of these episodes early and get tons of bonus audio goodness, including reviews of pretty much every MCU, Disney Plus show, also the Star Wars shows. I'll be doing recaps with my friend Dan Smots of The System Is Down of the upcoming Obi-Wan series. You get Rimzo versus the MCU. You get Rimzo Rants. You get What Mark Missed. You get bonus potpourri episodes. It's insane, actually, how much bonus content you can get for as little as a measly $5 a month. You can get all of that over on Patreon at patreon.com slash Second Print Pod. Remzo, I think that's all I got. Are you ready to dive in? Because we got a lot to talk about.
Let's jump into it.
All right. Well, as I said, we're going to rank the MCU. And I think the way we're going to do this is we've each got our own lists prepared here. And we'll go back and forth and just sort of, you know, there are 28 total movies. We are, of course, including the non-Disney owned movies that are still in MCU canon. So this will include The Incredible Hulk as well as the Spider-Man movies, even though those are, you know, produced by Sony and Universal, blah, blah, blah. Who cares about the behind the scenes? Do they matter in the MCU? If the answer is yes, they will be on this list. And I have devised a little point system. Basically, the number 28 movie will get 1 point. The number 27 movie will get 2 points, et cetera, for each of us. At the end, I'm going to try to keep track of this somehow as we go along the way. In the end, we will have a final agreed upon, maybe not agreed upon, but by the numbers agreed upon list of SBC ranking the MCU. Is that enough letters? I think so. SBC ranking the MCU. So that being said, why don't we just start at the bottom? Started at the bottom. Now we're here. I will take the reins here with my number 28. And honestly, this wasn't really hard. This wasn't actually hard for me at all, because I sat through almost 3 hours of this movie, really wanting to like it, really ready to like it, really trying to like it. But the truth is, this bored the shit out of me for 3 hours. And this movie is The Eternals. Remzo.
I am so glad that we could start the show off by agreeing with each other. I really like a lot of these. Like I wanted to start from the top, like my top five, then my top 10. Then I kind of worked down. But it was easier for me to just kind of figure out, like, in terms of anticipation, do I have fond memories of these movies? Do I enjoy them? Have I watched them more than once? I did not like anything about Eternals. That movie has no redeeming qualities. It's an abortion of a film. It's a crime against humanity. It's by far probably, I won't say it's my least favorite episode we've ever recorded, because when we went into the Eternals comics, we had fun making fun of that.
But oh, yeah, I had a blast reading
but
that.
But the conversation we had as we did a brief review about that film was pure drudgery. We do only for the listeners. So, yeah, Eternals, last on the list, last in our hearts.
Indeed. And I mean, it's almost hard to believe this movie was made by, you know, produced under the same umbrella as some of these other amazing films. It's just, yeah, there's not that much to say. There's so many characters. It's completely disjointed. It doesn't really even feel attached to the rest of the MCU. And the one thing you'd think you might get from it, or you think a couple strapping young males like us might get from it, is, hey, well, at least Selma Hayek's in it, and you know, Angelina Jolie's in it.
Don't cover up Selma Hayek.
They are wearing, you know, look, whatever. Even they were not enjoyable in this film. Let's just put it that way. So I'm glad we could agree. The Eternals, which between the two of us gets a total of 2 points. So not looking good. I think we can safely say The Eternals is the last ranked movie right now.
The only film that could ever give it a run for its money was Morbius, but I'm tempted to say I would watch Morbius again before I watch Eternals, and I hated Morbius.
I haven't seen Morbius yet. I'm morbidly, and that pun was not intended, morbidly curious just to check it out, considering that review of yours. But we will move on now. Why don't we go back and forth here? So I'll let you bring up your number 27.
My number 27, if you listen to a recent episode we did where we covered Ant-Man season one, the original graphic novel, I gave my thoughts on the Ant-Man film. Ant-Man in comics? Yay! Ant-Man in film? Eh. So my number 27 is the last film of Marvel Phase 2. It felt like tiny Iron Man. Paul Rudd just does not capture me like most people. I think I've come to like his character more. But as far as this film is concerned, I remember watching it in 2014, 2015 when it came out with my brother. And the first thing I told him was, I think I found Marvel's first bomb. So, Ant-Man.
All right. Well, this is where it didn't take long for us to diverge. As we've discussed before, while I don't think Ant-Man is one of the best movies or anything, I don't hate it. I find it enjoyable in a sense on the surface. Paul Rudd entertains me. Who's that guy? Who's his psychic guy? I don't remember his name in real life. Do you remember his name in real life?
Oh, Michael Peña. You know, that's one of the things that makes me mad about this film. Michael Peña is a fantastic actor. And you're telling me in an age of everyone's diversity, everyone's going to be strong and empowered. You take one of the best Latino actors in Hollywood and you make him a Mexican stereotype. He's not even really funny. That's one of the biggest things that offends me. It's like they took this actor and they just made him they made him into a sideshow, and I don't appreciate that. That actually, to me, is more offensive than the Trevor Slattery shit.
All right. Well.
Fuck Ant-Man.
We'll just move on then. My 27 is not Ant-Man. This was tough. There's a few, you know, around here, and we're already in the point where I pretty much don't hate any of these other movies. I just like them less than others, you know. But The Eternals is really the only MCU movie that I truly disdain. I just do not like it straight up. That being said, my number 27, it's quite a dichotomy because I do have the other films ranked a bit higher. But, and again, this is a movie I wanted to like. This is a movie I should have liked. This had what should have been a great villain, has some actors I really like, but it just fell flat to me, especially as a follow-up to one of the better movies in the franchise. My number 27 is Iron Man 2, Renzo.
Wow. Wow. Is your 27?
Wow.
I would see mid-range, but this is harsh.
Yeah. I mean, I would put Ant-Man mid-range. So, yeah, here
we are. To each their own.
Here we are. I mean, Mickey Rourke is such a great actor, and he was so disappointing in this. Maybe it's a matter of expectations. What's his name? Justin Hammer. I'm blanking on a lot of actors' names.
Oh, he played George Bush.
But, yeah, great actor. I mean, he wasn't bad in this. I mean, the movie just never, ever clicked for me. You even have Scarlett Johansson in it. It just never, ever clicked for me. And it's a movie I've rewatched and see, like, and reevaluate and see if I could like it more. And I just never could like it more. So, yeah, just a measly 2 points for me from Iron Man 2, number 27. Moving along. And again, like, I don't have disdain for really any of these movies. Like, you know, I don't like it, but it's okay. So, moving on to my number 26 now. Again, you know, this is a movie I may have not always given a fair shake. And I do like some of the elements of the movie. I like what they try to do with the movie, but I'm stretching myself on this one. My number 26, again, which is in stark contrast to another one of the films that we'll talk about later with the same character. My number 26 is Thor: The Dark World.
We were close. I don't want to tell you where I put that yet, but yeah, I mean, Thor: The Dark World, like, as I was putting this list together, like you, I don't hate any of these movies except Eternals. But what really helped me kind of fly through a few of them was the number of films I've only seen once. I've only seen Thor: The Dark World once. I saw it in theaters, a movie theater in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And I saw it with my friends. And, you know, this is right at the beginning of Phase 2. We walked out and we were all just kind of like, eh, it was an MCU film. Okay. I think over the years, The Dark World has become more justified, especially as they fleshed out Thor and everything. But in and of itself, it's not a good movie. It's a movie you have to watch to understand a lot of things, but it's not a movie you watch for pure enjoyment.
And the fact is, I mean, everyone loves Thor now because of Thor Ragnarok and because of what they did with him in Infinity War and Endgame. And this character really became something. I mean, one of the best parts of the MCU. But early on, he was kind of just a generic thunder god. Not all that deeply interesting.
Hemsworth didn't think he was going to get called back after Avengers 2.
Really? After Age of Ultron?
Yeah, because they filmed it back to back. He actually thought that because of the reviews from fans and everything for The Dark World and everything, that they were just going to let Thor, like, you know, play in the background and stuff. And his whole story was done. That's how badly this movie did.
Interesting. Well, that being said, what is your number 26? Right?
My number 26 is Captain Marvel.
Okay.
I want to give it some credit because it's actually one of the more original origin stories for a Marvel hero post Iron Man. I want to credit that. I like the 90s time setting. I like how they kind of fit it in. I like seeing, you know, Samuel Jackson as a young Nick Fury. Like, there are things about that movie where it's like, you know, they actually did some of the things I had wanted them to do. It didn't just feel like, you know, a retread of Iron Man. However, it felt unnecessary. Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, I don't think fits into the MCU, especially with how they made her Captain Marvel. The film, especially coming after Infinity War and how they were hyping her up for Endgame, I feel like the expectations of the movie and the character were more so than what it actually was delivered to be. Even if they had delivered on those promises, I don't think it would have made me like this movie anymore. It's just a so-so superhero movie. I like seeing it in IMAX, but that's about it.
All right. Well, I'll give some more of my Captain Marvel thoughts when we get to that on my list. But we will now move on to my number 25. It's a follow up to my last pick. Look, it's not bad. It's not terrible. But it's I think one of my biggest factors in this is rewatchability. The more I could see myself rewatching these movies, the higher it will be ranked. And the least I can see myself wanting to rewatch these movies is the lower they were ranked. At the end of the day, that's pretty much my standard. And again, I said it about The Dark World, and this is a better movie than The Dark World. That's why it's higher. But it just falls kind of flat for me every time I attempt to watch it. And that is the original Thor, which is okay, but it just kind of falls flat for me. And I just didn't find the character terribly compelling in his early MCU stages.
That's fair. I mean, it was MCU phase one. I think I've grown more nostalgic over it. And I think that's why, and as we'll see, like that phase one really kind of links up a bit higher in my list. But yeah, I mean, Thor, just as more movies come by, especially like, you know, with the fact that Ragnarok is really what made Thor like likable, you know, it's just the first one is just there. It feels more place filler.
Exactly. Yes. So what is your number 25? Right
Dark now? World. For the reasons I listed. I mean, I only put it, like, I actually struggled. I'm like, do I put it above or below Captain Marvel? But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, as the stories across the connected MCU have gotten more complex and called back to previous films, the Dark World has just become more important. So, you know, if I had to weigh that in comparison to Captain Marvel, as of right now, I mean, yeah, it's there.
All right. Thor, The Dark World. Has been put away for this conversation. But another movie we're going to put away now, one you mentioned a few moments ago, my number 24 is Captain Marvel. Again, like you, I did enjoy this movie, like in a sense. And like I will probably say a number of times at this point, like I kind of like all of the rest of the movies I'll talk about in some way, shape or form. Again, I like most of the MCU. I'm an MCU stan. I love the interconnectedness of it. Even the movies I don't find as rewatchable, I can kind of sort of appreciate their role in things. And Captain Marvel was fun. I think maybe the best thing about it to me was like the 90s nostalgia, if anything else. And, you know, fun to see how Samuel Jackson, you know, how Nick Fury lost his eye or what have you. But at the end of the day, like you said, it doesn't really feel like it does fit in that much with the MCU. Now, maybe this will change with Secret Invasion and everything that goes on with the Skrulls, and maybe it'll feel like it's more a part of the larger lore going down the road. But at the end of the day, Brie Larson is fine, but she doesn't compel me that much as an actress. She doesn't compel, and the character of Captain Marvel doesn't compel me that much overall. And frankly, I think I like Maria Rambeau's Thor.
Hoping that they would make
Thor. I mean, Captain Marvel.
I was really hoping Lashana Lynch would be, you know, more front and center. I think she's genuinely one of my favorite actresses right now. I liked her in her cameo in Captain Marvel. I loved her in James Bond, No Time to Die. And, you know, not to get spoilery, but I'm glad that they have not completely forgotten her in the MCU. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I guess we're close enough to when Doctor Strange happened that we will, since this is not an episode about that specifically, I think we'll do our best to avoid spoilers there. That being said, Remzo, what's your number 24?
This might rub some people the wrong way. I've come to praise Spider-Man, not to bury him, but I did not like Homecoming. Spider-Man Homecoming is a weak entry.
Wow.
And it's not because I don't like the cast or anything. Like, I love Michael Keaton in that film. I think, objectively, Tom Holland is the best Spider-Man. My problem has always been how his Spider-Man has been written into the MCU. And as an MCU film, this movie does not feel like Spider-Man. If there's ever a film where I'm like, oh, it's Iron Boy Jr. And, you know, I've come to lay down and rest a lot of my prior criticisms prior to No Way Home. This is the movie where a lot of those criticisms come into play.
All right, now we are starting to see the real cracks, the real divides here come up here. So I'll save my thoughts on this film for when we get to it in my rankings, whenever that may be. All right, so now this is another one that's controversial. Some people don't even count it as part of the MCU. We are going to count it because it is canon. It is part of the story, and this one is some people might think it should be. I've seen a lot of lists where this is ranked as the lowest film. You and I have talked about it. We both like it more than most. That being said, it's still not one of the best movies. It's not in the top tier for me at all. But I do enjoy aspects of it. That is the Incredible Hulk starring Edward Norton. I do really like Edward Norton in this movie. That's probably the biggest thing I like about the movie. It has a lot of elements of those like Bruce Banner on the run, you know, stuff that you and I both really dig about that character.
Hulk.
Yeah, the Bixby era Hulk. So that's why I like it. And, you know, I mean, there's just not that much more to say about it. I think it's an underrated film. But that being said, you know, it is ranked last on a lot of lists for a reason. It is not, it's certainly not a top tier or even in the top half of films. So I think, 23 is about as fair as I could do it. But, you know, to me, that's still elevating it quite a bit higher than, you know, most other lists out there would have it if they even include it on their list. So my number 23 is The Incredible Hulk. Remzo, what about you?
I think this is probably like the biggest difference in ranking, because I ranked mine a lot higher, as we'll see. But, you know, mine for this is Ant-Man and the Wasp. I actually like, this is where I was like, oh, Ant-Man's not completely terrible. I think Liv Tyler as the Wasp in this film is what really carries
it. That's not Liv Tyler.
I'm sorry. No, Evangeline Lilly. Liv Tyler was Betty Ross in Incredible Hulk. I'm sorry. I was thinking they all kind of look the same.
And Liv Tyler's like 30 years older than Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah. Well, Ant-Man the Wasp, like it's a movie that actually made Ant-Man matter. And I think I was kind of confused. Like, why'd they put Ant-Man and the Wasp after Infinity War? It makes Endgame better if you watch this movie. This is the first Marvel film where I heard a lot of people say they were skipping it. People skipped Captain Marvel because they, you know, of all the culture outrage over Brie Larson and her comics, which I think is, you know, acceptable. But this is the first one where people were like, you know, I would see it, but it just seems boring and I don't see why Ant-Man matters. But you have to see this film to understand Endgame. I liked it. I liked the cast. You know, in the Ant-Man episode, I mentioned that I just wish we had seen a little bit more Lawrence Fishburne. This is a good standalone movie. I think Marvel has really drifted away from good standalone films. I think with Phase 4, they've done a little bit better with that in some cases. But this is one of the ones where it's like, you know what? Like, I'm pretty like okay with it. I give it a C plus. Like, it's not top tier, but like, this is a good, like, if I saw this like on an airplane or something and it was like the only thing I had to watch and all my devices were dead, I'd watch it instead of just going to sleep. So yeah, Ant-Man the Wasp.
That's some kind of review. All right, I will I will save my thoughts on that for when we get to it on my list. This next movie was kind of hard to rank for me. This is my number 22, because I did like it. You and I both gave it a pretty good review, and it's a fairly recent film. I think when we first reviewed it, there was a little bit of recency bias and a little bit of added excitement because it had been a long time since we'd gotten an MCU film. That being said, when I really think about it in relation to all these other movies, and when I think about the rewatchability, I don't see myself really caring to rewatch this much, if at all. And maybe I will give it another shot someday. Again, I gave it a pretty good review, but when I pull back and look at the grand picture, it doesn't really feel that important. It doesn't really feel that necessary, even in many ways. Fun, but maybe even a little too long and a little too drawn out in many ways. But an okay film. My number 22 is Black Widow.
I can see that. I mean, I ranked it a little bit higher than you, but I understand why it would be.
But it was
here.
Tough. I mean, I could have ranked it higher too. Yeah. So what about you, Remzo? What's your number 22?
Iron Man 2, for the same reasons. I mean, I was younger. I was like 14, 15 when this movie came out. I mean, Iron Man craze was real. And for them to speed up the production of the movie, I think that's what really helped keep MCU Phase 1 going when people were really wondering after The Incredible Hulk, like, could this happen? I saw this movie a lot. Sam Rockwell was, we were confused about his name earlier, Sam Rockwell.
Oh yeah, Sam Rockwell
played Justin Hammer, is still like, I have such a sweet spot for him. Like him as Justin Hammer, I wish they would bring him back. If I could talk to Kevin Feige right now, I would say, please make a Thunderbolts Disney Plus series and bring us more Sam Rockwell.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I need to see Justin Hammer back. He was probably the best part of that film, honestly, was Sam Rockwell as Justin Hammer. And I think he would do great in a Thunderbolts, Dark Avengers, you know, whatever it may be. Moving along to my number 21. You talked about this movie earlier. I like it more than you. And again, I think to me, it's just yeah, I don't really disagree with your criticisms, but I still can find it fun. My biggest criticism is this, the how generic the villain is, which is it's a very phase one problem with most of the villains of phase one outside of Loki. There are really no amazing villains in that first phase. That being said, I have Ant-Man ranked right here. Your criticisms are fair, but I can, when I factor in the rewatchability, I can toss on Ant-Man and pretty much enjoy it for what it is. So that's why it lands right here at number 21 for me. What about you?
Far From Home. I think Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio is great casting. I think the only mistake by using him as Mysterio is I always liked the idea of Jake Gyllenhaal playing an adult Spider-Man. When they were going to bring in Spider-Man, when they got the deal set up with Sony after they canceled the Amazing Spider-Man series after Amazing Spider-Man 2, I was really hoping that maybe we'd get something more in the vein of the Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Jake Gyllenhaal is around the same age as Maguire, so I thought, you know what, like he was looked at 20 years ago, then they looked at him again for Amazing Spider-Man before Avi Arad was like, no, put him back in high school. Seeing him in it in some form is really cool. Seeing him as Mysterio, I think he's definitely a cooler villain, but like this movie, it's Iron Man Jr. again. Like, why'd you have to make a Spider-Man movie all about Iron Man? Like, Robert Downey Jr. doesn't even have a speaking role in that movie, and it still feels like he overshadows Peter all the time. I can't
he's
do
dead
it.
And he still feels bigger than
Peter.
Yeah,
he got a credit in the film. I tried watching this movie a second time about a year ago, and I was just like, I can't do it. Like, and that's how I felt after watching Homecoming. Like, I tried watching on Blu-ray and I was like, I can't finish this movie.
Yeah, well, we're not far off here at this point, because I have Spider-Man Far From Home as my number 20. This is my least favorite Spider-Man film. So I have this, I have Homecoming, spoiler alert, obviously ranked higher than this one. It fell flat for me at the end of the day. Like you said, I think the things you pointed out are things I did enjoy about it. I did really enjoy Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. I like that they sort of introduced the multiverse without really introducing the multiverse. It was kind of a multiversal swerve there. And I think my favorite part of the movie was the end credits scene when we see them, that Nick Fury was a Skrull the whole time, and then see him up on the space station, because that really interested me. That was like, oh, where are we going with this? We got S.W.O.R.D., we got Nick Fury working with Skrulls. I mean, this is weird stuff. So I love that. But yeah, I mean, it was fun. I always dig Tom Holland and Zendaya. I really think they're great in the roles. I think this whole Spider-Man universe is very well cast. So I can watch it again like an Ant-Man. I can put it on and it's fine. It doesn't upset me. It doesn't bore me. That's why it's ranked where it is. I think really all these bottom films, though, like I could watch almost all of them with the exception of Eternals. I can't imagine even just ever putting that on. I could watch almost all of them and get some level of enjoyment out of it.
The more we go down our list, the more I hate Eternals. It feels like Guantanamo Bay torture.
It becomes more obvious, I think, that the more we look at these, because even the movies I quote unquote don't like here, like I'll watch Iron Man 2 seven times in a row before I put Eternals on it again. So it really is a very stark contrast. But yeah, No Way Home is my number 20. What's yours?
Thor.
I mean, Far From Home.
Far From Home. Thor. I understand why people might not think that Thor is their favorite, and I've got my criticisms of Thor. And by the way, I talked about how I would change these films if I could have my magic Kevin Feige powers. You can go ahead and listen to me cover all of phase one. I'm currently covering phase two for Remzo versus the MCU. So if you want my full thoughts on how I would change these movies, go check us out on Patreon. But Thor is just like a guilty nostalgia pick. Like, I don't know why I liked it as much, but I remember going to the Dollar Theater a few months after it left like all the main theaters. It was like in this old, like little raggedy college theater near our house. And my brother and I would go see it and get like, $3 popcorn on like this mangy projector. Like we watched it a few times that summer, and it was just like, it's a fun pick. I like, I think Kenneth Branagh has really been given a raw deal in terms of his contribution to Thor mythology and everything. Like, I like Taika Waititi, Patty Jenkins shit the bed, but I think Kenneth Branagh really tried to make Thor original and cool and try and make it feel more like a real drastic tonal shift compared to the prior MCU flicks. So I'm a defender of Thor. So yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Moving on to my number 19. Now, this is another controversial one. It's one that gets shit on quite a bit. And I think you and I both like it a lot more than most people. But, you know, that being said, it still only got it up this high because there are still things I don't love about it. And that is Iron Man 3, which we both agree is a Christmas film. Some would call it Tony Stark 1, maybe, because there's barely Iron Man in this movie. It's mostly Tony Stark. But I did really enjoy Robert Downey Jr. in this. I think the thing that bothers me the most about it is the dumb ending with Gwyneth Paltrow becoming
she became an extremist soldier.
Yeah, like, an extremist. So and then stupid. It's just and then it's just dropped. Like, do they ever mention why she's not an extremist anymore? Nope. No, not at
why
all.
Did he go back to making suits after he blew them all up and got surgery?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to get too much into I'm blanking on a lot of things today. The hero's journey. What do you call the opposite?
The victim's journey.
This very much felt like there were elements of that. And like, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but it really felt like we were demasculating Tony Stark in this one and having him be saved by Gwyneth Paltrow, not through Gwyneth Paltrow doing anything necessarily heroic, but by her through no really fault of her own getting these extremist powers and out of nowhere. So I just thought that was just a very dumb ending. But besides the ending and besides the fact that the ending never even ended up mattering, it's a fairly enjoyable film that gets more shit than I think it deserves, and I even enjoy the Trevor Slattery thing and the whole twist with the Mandarin. I actually really like that aspect of the movie.
I think Guy Pearce, if they had cast anybody else as Aldrich Killian,
he was
like,
great.
If they had cast anyone other than Guy Pearce, I would have probably said he was a horrible villain. I think Guy Pearce being cast in that role is what saved a lot of my criticisms about the acting and stuff in this film. I'm a sucker for Guy Pearce.
Fair enough. So, what is your number 19?
Ironically, it's Iron Man 3.
Oh, we are in sync on this one. All right.
It is, I mean, same deal. I mean, I really was upset with that movie because that's when they announced that would be the last solo Iron Man film. I think if you're going to send off a character in his own franchise, and this is what I'm seeing is kind of my problems, my criticisms of current MCU, you've sacrificed some of the standalone magic for just having filler stories, and this felt, you know, this felt like a filler story, but I call it a Christmas movie. I feel like it's a Christmas movie. I watch it back and forth between Home Alone and Shazam and Christmas Vacation. Yeah, I mean, for some weird reason, there are just moments of this film where it's like, you know what? I could watch it again.
Indeedy, indeedy. All right, what's your number 18, Ramzo?
I don't dislike this movie. I don't think it's a bad movie, but I will be disappointed because it's not better than what I feel is the better Doctor Strange origin, which is its animated predecessor, Doctor Strange. This felt like Iron Man on acid. Like, it just, I didn't like, what's her name?
But I like Iron Man and acid, so.
Yeah, well, I didn't.
that's not a bad thing
I thought them not having the movie take place in Tibet to appease the Chinese was a bad move. Tibet plays a lot into it, and they try.
Oh, is that a thing? Is that why?
That was why. And I did not like how they casted Tilda Swinton.
Changed my ranking if I knew.
Yeah, I mean, I did not like how they made Tilda Swinton the chosen one.
Tilda Swinton,
whatever she should. Like, whatever. I want the ancient one to be an old Tibetan man, okay? And I like Mads Mikkelsen is a great actor. He's probably my favorite James Bond villain when he played Le Chiffre in Casino Royale. Him as Caecilius in the cult of Dormammu in this film, it was weak. It was not what I anticipated. This is the first film where I'm like, you know, this should have been outright horror. This should have felt more like what they did with Multiverse of Madness. I think the only thing saving it is the fact that Benedict Cumberbatch just is a very convincing Doctor Strange, but as a solo origin flick, it was weak. I did not like it. My father loves Doctor Strange. He never watched the animated Doctor Strange film, so he loved it. But me, I think having seen what the true might of a horror supernatural Doctor Strange should have been, this felt very Disney PC'd.
All right, well, I'm going to save my thoughts for whenever that happens to appear on my list. Next up for me, this is, you know, this is a movie that gets shit on a lot as well. But I've watched it actually a couple times. I also was going through the whole MCU with my wife to find the one she didn't watch. And that's why I'd watch it fairly recently. And I always end up kind of enjoying it. Like, even though there's certainly a lot of elements of it that aren't the great, don't make it one of the best films, but I enjoy it well enough. And that is Avengers Age of Ultron.
I have that ranked a little bit higher than you. I agree. Age of Ultron feels like I'm watching a Saturday morning cartoon. That's how I describe it.
Yeah, and I like Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah. So. But I mean, and it does have, obviously, you know, introduces the Scarlet Witch. It has elements of it that, and there's a little more prominence of Hawkeye. You know, it has all the characters I like doing things together. We see a lot more of Vision, this is when we get the origin of Vision. So there's a lot of things that happen in this movie that do end up being really important to the grand scheme of the MCU. So that's why I have it here. That being said, the least good Avengers movie, I think for sure.
Yeah.
My number 17 now is one that you mentioned a little bit ago, and I really, surprisingly, and now we're in the zone now already where I pretty much really like all the movies that I'm going to talk about next. I mean, this is where it became really hard to rank things. Just as it was really hard to rank my bottom other than the Eternals, you know, I could probably interchange, like, my bottom five or six are probably all interchangeable. And in some ways, the rest of my list, I'm not going to call the rest of it interchangeable. I think my top five is pretty much solid, but a lot of it I could shift around and not feel that strongly about. So this is where things do get pretty difficult for me, because I think that the films get really good here. That being said, this is probably right on the bottom of the bottom tier before I get into the movies that I really love. But that being said, I really enjoyed this movie far more than I thought I would. And that is Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I think is much better than the first one. Like I said, Evangeline Lilly really works really well. She has great chemistry with Paul Rudd. I enjoyed really everything about the quantum realm, getting more into that stuff, into the whole backstory with Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne. I just really, really thought this is a fun movie. It's a fun movie that is action-packed. It really never slows down, never gets boring at all. And hey, I am, as I've said, I'm a sucker for Paul Rudd. He makes me laugh. I like him. Ant-Man and the Wasp is my number 17. What about you?
My number 17 is Black Widow. This was a movie that a lot of people were panning, but what was funny was it came out a few months before James Bond's No Time to Die. No Time to Die felt like it wanted to be a superhero movie, while Black Widow was trying to be more of a spy film. I mean, I would say that in some ways, if you're just like, I want like an espionage thriller, Black Widow is way better than No Time to Die was. So I thought the synchronicity of those two films coming out was good. But I mean, the question of the age is, could Scarlett Johansson handle her own movie? Yes and no. Yes, and the fact that I really enjoyed it. I think she really carried the character through the film. But I also think the supporting cast of Tiffany Pugh, who plays Yelena, was really good. I thought really diving in more into the Red Room and everything. A lot of people were very upset with the Taskmaster twist. I think it made sense for the MCU. It didn't bother me that much. So this is, if somebody was like, I just want to see a Marvel film where I know a little bit, like the fact that they have this taking place directly after Civil War, I think is my biggest criticism, because it's like, this is kind of weird for like casual moviegoers. But I don't believe that anymore, because your casual moviegoer is an MCU fan, so it doesn't, I don't think that criticism holds up anymore. This is a good solo flick, lots of action, adventure, carries that, you know, spy espionage noir feeling with it, while still having a little bit of charm from Yelena and the others. Red Guardian was funny. Black Widow.
All right, Black Widow, there it is. Put that one to bed as well. I'm also formulating the overall rankings as I go here, so hopefully I can do my math well enough and I'll be able to list that all at the end of this one. That being said, we're kind of getting into we're beyond the first half, actually, are we? Yeah, we are. Or no, we're almost at the first half. But anyway, next up, this is okay. Like, it's the first time that the whole gang came together. Falls a little flat for me with, well, let me just name it first. It's Avengers. It's the original Avengers, the Joss Whedon Avengers.
I assumed this at least would have been in your top 10.
Well, you assumed incorrectly.
Wow.
I don't hate it. But you know, when I compare it to the rest of the movies that I'm gonna list, and look, this, like I said, this is where things do get hard for me. Like I could switch a lot of this around and not, you know, not feel that stressed about it. But you know, it's a good film. It's entertaining. It's fun to see the team come together. There's some good battle scenes, a lot of drama, a lot of action. At the end of the day, though, it feels like a setup movie still. You know, Loki is a good villain, but that whole final battle and everything, like it just never feels. It never feels as dramatic or as heavy as even Ultron. Even the threat from Ultron actually felt, even though I ranked that movie lower, felt higher than the threat of, or more interesting to me anyway, than the threat of Loki and this whole Chitauri invasion or what have you. That being said, entertaining movie, good, very good. So that's why it just lands pretty much almost in the middle here at my number 16. That is Avengers. So Ramzo, what is yours?
It's another Avengers film, but it is Avengers Infinity War. This,
wow,
this is, you know, it's,
wow,
just,
wow,
wow, wowie. It's just, it's wow, good, but I have nothing super strong to say about it. Like, it's just, it's a necessary viewing. I can't watch this without immediately having to go watch Endgame. And I don't know if that makes Infinity War better or if it says less about Infinity War. But I mean, Infinity War, I think the only real thing that propels that story is Thanos's quest, which I think is amazing. To have an Avengers movie that is almost 90% of just the villain, that hasn't really been tried before. And I think Josh Brolin, for being a CGI, you know, purple monster with a ball sack chin, carrying a film like that when we really, like, we had seen pieces of him throughout other Marvel films, but to really see him, like, show us who Thanos is, I thought that was phenomenal. But I mean, it's just, you know, I probably would have ranked this higher any other given day. I'm very up in the air about this film. You know, our friend Caleb Franz says that this is probably like one of his favorite Avengers films. I'm like, you know, it's a solid, like, it's up there, like it's above like Age of Ultron. But I mean, we've only got like a couple pickings. It's just about how you want to shuffle.
You don't have it above Age of Ultron.
Well, no, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Like, I'm talking generically. But yeah, Infinity War. It's good. It's there. It's there.
All right. Well, there are a number of films that we are very, very different on. And it's going to be really interesting to see how big those gaps are. Next up. And again, I think now we're in the point where I pretty much love every movie I'm going to mention next. Like, we really are in the zone where every movie I mention now, I'm like, I mean, these are all like great movies, I actually think. So, you know, and this is where things got so difficult for me, because I think any movie I mentioned for the rest of the time, I at one point thought of as a top 10 or maybe even a top 5 movie, but there's just so many good movies now. I mean, they've done such a good job with this franchise, and that becomes really more apparent the more and more I try. Yes, it's a curse of abundance. It really is phenomenal what they've done with this, even with a few duds in there and a few like not that great, but still decent movies. I mean, there are some just excellent films here, and the rest of this list, I could all easily justify being in my top 10, even my top 5. Like, even my number 15, 14, 13, I could justify having them at 5 or 6, all of them. So this is where things really do get difficult for me. And this is a really fun movie. I really love the movie. But now it has some problems. This is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Again, I love the whole cast. I love the music. I love the James Gunn. I love everything about this film. I think the only thing that fell flat a little bit for me was the villain, was Ego, the Living Planet. It just, something about it just didn't quite connect for me. And, you know, with Eternals and the way they portrayed the Celestials in there, that I'm not sure how that actually fits with how he's a Celestial. Maybe they'll explain that further some time down the road. I'm guessing they probably won't. They'll probably just let it all go. Yeah, so I mean, but this is a minor criticism because I really do enjoy the movie, and as I said, everything from now on is a really difficult ranking for me. So begrudgingly, I feel bad even having it this low because I really like it and it's very rewatchable. But nonetheless, number 15 is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 for me.
Well, maybe this will be a surprise, maybe this won't, because of what I just mentioned for my previous number. But for this one, it's Avengers: Age of Ultron. The weakest of the Avengers flicks, but, you know, as...
Why didn't you rank it the lowest, then?
Because it's still... This is pure nostalgia for me. This is me as a young kid with all my Avengers action figures, you know, playing with them on Christmas Day when I was, like, you know, 9 or 10. Like, this movie is just... This is the culmination.
Wait, you were 9 or 10 when this came out?
No. Like, I'm talking prior to MCU. This is one of those films where it's like, this is the culmination of everything you knew it would be if you could get a crossover movie like this. And for me to see all these characters fighting with one of my favorite villains and going to all these places, it was, it was just one of those moments where it's like, you know what? Like, it might not be great, but I'm so glad it exists. I'm happy this movie is here. And, you know, it's a good standalone film, despite the fact that it sets up some things and some other stuff. Like, it's just fun. And I think sometimes you just got to look at the fun it brings you. And that's why this ranked above so many others, because it's just a fun movie.
All right. Well, I will always be befuddled at you at ranking Age of Ultron higher than Infinity War. But we'll get to this later.
I mean, they were back to back. I mean, it's really like, I would say now, like, coin flip me any day of the week, and I would rank it lower than Infinity War. But when I did this, you know, I just have to think, like, what have I seen more? I've seen Age of Ultron far too many times.
All right. Well, fair enough. Next one. This is probably going to be controversial because when this came out, and even upon rewatch, I enjoy it every time. I think it's really well done. I think the lead actor is fantastic. And I don't really see that many flaws in it, which is why it's weird that it's only ranked halfway down my list. But it's due to the abundance of enjoyable films. And while I like this movie a lot, it's just, if I'm going to choose what to watch when, this is going to rank lower than a lot of the other films that we're going to talk about later, through really no fault of its own, through just the curse of abundance, as you say. But my number 14, I can't believe it's this low, but it is Black Panther.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, though, but we're getting so close to the top of the pile than that. I mean,
yeah, it's crazy.
It's yeah, I get it.
I mean, I could put it in my top five, too. It's like that's how tight things are at this point.
Yeah. Mine is Thor Ragnarok. You know, it was a big, this is the film that made Thor relevant. But, you know, it's funny. It's good. I like the redemptive arc for Loki. I love the inclusion of the Hulk. I think Tessa Thompson is great. You know, it's there. I don't have any strong feelings against it. It's just, you know, like you said, like, now we're getting to the crunch. Now it's like little minute details.
Indeed. This is definitely crunch time. So what's your number 15? What's your number 13?
And this film has always typically been in my top five, but as the years have gone on and the additions have been made, it's been getting pushed out. It's Captain America, the First Avenger. This movie, a lot of people say this is their least favorite MCU Phase 1 film because they were still like, oh, the Human Torch is Captain America. I know those people. They suck. But I think Hugo Weaving is the Red Skull is phenomenal. I think Hayley Atwell, Sebastian Stan, like, this is, I will probably say this film has some of the best introductory cast to a franchise character. I absolutely love the First Avenger. I will always say it's one of the great Marvel films.
Very, very interesting. My number 13, similarly, I can't believe it's this low. And I'm probably going to say this of a lot of these movies. I can't believe it's this low. Like, this This movie is the reason that the MCU is successful. This is the reason the MCU exists. I've seen this movie ranked number one on a lot of lists, and I can't even argue with it, which is why it's so insane that I have it this low. But like you said, it just, when I think about how much I want to rewatch it, it's nowhere near as much as a lot of the movies I'm going to mention next. You're probably not going to believe this. It's Iron Man, original Iron Man. And I like it a lot. I mean, it's great. It's a great movie. But all these are great movies now. Well, to me anyway. We're going to have some disagreements coming soon. Yeah,
because once we get in the top five territory, that might be a little contentious.
There's contention on the way very shortly.
Yeah, my next one is Shang-Chi. It's a fun...
That's your number two.
It was a refreshing chance to get a film that didn't feel like it was paint-by-the-numbers Marvel. I think the cast was great, especially how they really reintegrated the Mandarin and didn't just make him, you know, like how they would have done it with Trevor Slattery's inclusion in Iron Man 3. I think that finally makes that film better. But at the same time, it's a heartwarming film. If you love Bruce Lee, it's got a little bit of those Bruce Lee-isms. It's fun. It felt refreshing, especially getting to go see it in theaters after a year of no movies.
Well, Remzo, while there is contention on the way, I assure you of that, there is no contention with our number 12s because Shang-Chi is also my number 12. When it first came out, I was thinking this was a top 10 film to me, and it's only not again because I just love the other movies above it more, but it's a tight one here. And I've watched this movie a number of times, so I can say it's very rewatchable. It's very fun. It never stops being boring. A lot of great chemistry between, I don't know the actor's name that plays Shang-Chi, but him and this Awkwafina, I find them both entertaining.
Sam Lee, Sam Liu. I feel bad. I don't know his name. I'm not trying to be condescending. It's L-U-I. I just don't
Liu,
know.
Liu. I don't know.
Liu.
Whatever. Yeah. But yeah,
he's a great actor. I'm so glad he's Shang-Chi. I couldn't imagine anyone else being Shang-Chi.
Yeah, he's great in this film. I also love the Trevor Slattery redemption of that character. That really surprised me. Did not see that coming at all. And it's very fun. I mean, I love dragons. I love interdimensional things. It has so many different. I love kung fu movies. Like, this has so many different elements of things that I like kind of merge into one film that it really just, it's just an absolute blast of a movie and maybe one of the best origin movies of the MCU. Oh, yeah. And I'm already questioning some of my rankings at this point.
I just switched a couple, to be honest.
yeah. I mean, I could justify a lot of different movies in a lot of different places at this point, but we're settling here on Shang-Chi at 12. So let's enjoy the synergy on that one. Next up, this will definitely be contentious. I know that because I already know where you ranked it. This is Spider-Man Homecoming for me. I really, really like this movie. I've seen it a number of times. Tom Holland, I think his debut is great. I love they didn't do an origin. I love he just kind of mentions, yeah, I was bit by a spider, because we've seen the origin so much on the big screen in the years prior to that. And it's just, but I think Tom Holland plays the best. I don't know if he's the best Spider-Man. He's the best Peter Parker to me. He's the one I can most believe is in high school, and the one that I can most believe is just figuring all this stuff out. I guess maybe one of the complaints is that there's that Iron Man Jr. aspect to an extent, but it is there in this movie for sure. I really love the interplay, and I think the one thing that put this movie much higher for me than it might have been otherwise is Michael Keaton as the Vulture. Michael Keaton is fucking awesome in this movie. He's one of my favorite actors, so I'm a little bit biased here. Probably my top five actors. I've never thought about ranking my actors, but he's definitely way, way up there. One of my favorite actors. He delivers on screen pretty much every time I see him. Absolutely love Michael Keaton, and he took a villain that is just a lame ass Marvel villain, like this is so fucking dumb villain, like truly one of the dumbest villains I think that exists in Spider-Man's rogues gallery. He made him cool and interesting and badass, and that is really an impressive feat to me. So that is why Spider-Man Homecoming ranks as my number 11.
Well, my number 11 used to be in my top 10, but it slowly got edged out. My number 11 is The Incredible Hulk. For all the reasons we mentioned earlier, I think what makes me really admire this film is that it being a runner up to the first Iron Man film, and they came out within like a year of each other. That was really harsh. This was the first test of whether or not they can have a good solo film, establish those Easter eggs to show a connected universe, and then you know, what I think really brings it together is that final scene in which you see Robert Downey Jr. walk in to meet Thunderbolt Ross. I think a lot of people are unfair about this film because they don't like, you know, Emil Blonsky, who I think that version of the Abomination, there's a reason they brought him back. They brought him back in Shang-Chi for that cameo. We're going to see more of him. He's already going to, Tim Roth is already reprising the role of the Abomination in the She-Hulk Disney Plus show, because, you know, people do understand, like, this is the best. I will say this. This is the best on-screen version of Hulk there is. I like Ruffalo, but, you know, if you know what makes it unfair is that we never really got a Mark Ruffalo Hulk movie. I think if they had given him that would have been a real test. But
I think we are going to. I think they are doing a World War Hulk movie.
Maybe through She-Hulk or someone else, but I don't think we'll ever get something as direct as The Incredible Hulk. I love this film. It's a passion film. I love it.
Yeah, I actually won't really argue with you, even though I had it a lot lower. Like, I do have a place in my heart for this movie, and I think it's, I don't want to rewatch it as much as the other movies I mentioned above it, and that's pretty much what I'm going by. But I mean, I do like it, so I really won't push back too hard, even though we're pretty far apart on the rankings there. What's your number 10?
Black Panther. This movie is cool. You know, I've been throwing in a lot of James Bond references through the others because of the tones and the actors and stuff like that. But this feels like James Bond and Batman had a baby. It's just so freaking good. Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger just freaking kills it. My only criticism of it, and it's not even really a criticism, as I wish we saw more Andy Serkis as Claw. But I mean, Chadwick Boseman, this is his, I had always wanted to see Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. This is one of the first times where it's like, I felt like a fan casting. I helped influence it by constantly saying, Chadwick Boseman should be Black Panther. That and Benedict Cumberbatch, Doctor Strange. Those two, I was always like, those two need to be in. And this felt like they're really listening to the fans. And I mean, they just delivered a film which was just so freaking cool. Like, this is such a, this is a movie where it's just like, damn, like, this guy has it together. It was a fun movie, one of my favorite MCU movie experiences. I mean, they got the character, which makes the fact that they're gonna do Black Panther 2 without him only more offensive. They are pissing on the grave of Chadwick Boseman, and for that they should be ashamed, and I hope everyone who's working on that movie goes to hell.
Wow. Well, you're not mad they're doing it without him, you're mad that they're not recasting him.
Yeah. You know what? CGI ghost him. It'll be weird, but like, I could get over that. But the fact that you're just gonna, you're gonna take such great ground, which was laid for you, and you're just gonna take a massive dump on it. It's wrong. It's so wrong.
Yeah, well, I will reserve judgment to see how they handle it, but I can't see it going well. But man, I could be wrong. We'll see. My number 10 here. I won't really, you already mentioned it, and I pretty much agree with your review. I just had it a little bit higher. That is Captain America, the First Avenger. This is one that I used to rank lower. I used to find it, I don't know, I used to not just be as into it, but it's just aged like a fine wine to me. Like, the more I watch it, and I think the more I've seen the development of Steve Rogers as the character through his arc of the MCU, culminating in an Endgame, and how he ends up getting to spend his life with Peggy Carter, and there's so many callbacks, you know, I could do this all day, that keeps coming back in so many different ways, and it really just laid the groundwork for all of the MCU. It is the one that takes place before all the other movies. And I just, every time I watch it, I like it more, which really says a lot about it. If we did this 2 years ago, it probably would have been maybe even towards the bottom half of my list, but it just keeps getting higher and higher the more I watch it. It would be interesting to look back on this list in like 5 years or something and see how much our
opinions
change. We'll
have to when they add like 20 other Marvel movies.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's
going
to be
insane. We're not even including the Disney Plus shows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't even get into that right now. But nonetheless, Captain America, the First Avenger is my number 10. And I am just compiling some stats here so I can hopefully have the list ready at the end. Let's see. Captain America, the First Avenger. Boom, boom. Okay. Now, we're definitely going to get contentious here.
Okay.
Because you ranked this one very, very, very low compared
comparatively
to me. But it's made its way into my top 10 because, again, rewatchability. I love this movie. I fucking love it. I agree with one of your criticisms, maybe two of them. I don't think you even mentioned this one, but first of all, to say it, my number nine is Doctor Strange. I love this character in the films anyway. It was never like a huge character for me in Marvel Comics, but I really have enjoyed Benedict Cumberbatch in this role. I think he fucking crushes it. I think this is a great origin story. I love when he drinks the fucking ayahuasca and goes on this journey through the multiverse. Like, that's, to me, one of the coolest scenes that's ever happened in movies, in Marvel movies. And, you know, and I really, really love the way he defeats Dormammu. And Dormammu, I'm here to bargain. Like, I love that whole scene. I could rewatch that over and over and over with him experiencing his death like 1,000 times over, until just Dormammu basically just gets bored with it and just loses his fucking mind. I think that's such a unique way to defeat an enemy that's way more powerful than you. And it really, you know, it's, I think my criticisms would be, like, I agree with you, even though I enjoy it, making the cape into the magic carpet is fucking cheesy and Disney as fuck, and fair enough. I won't argue with you there, but I get so much enjoyment out of this movie every time I watch it that it would just be plain silly for it not to make my top 10. I probably could have justified ranking it even higher, but, you know, due to the, you know, and I also agree that, how do you say the villain? Caligulus or whatever the fuck his name is. A little bit cheesy there too. I agree, but I did like Dormammu himself.
I always have to say like 5 times in my head before I say it out loud.
Did you know that Benedict Cumberbatch played Dormammu? Also?
Yes, he was the voice of him. He also played the voice of Smaug in the Hobbit films, which is why around that time they're like, we could save some money on a voice actor by getting him to also do this. So it's crazy to be both the villain and the hero in your own movie.
Indeed. So, that being said, Remzo, what is your number 9?
Civil War. This is the most drama-filled MCU flick, and I would dare say that of all the films that have been adapted based on comic book source material, that this is actually better than the Civil War comic. I mean, this film, and I think it delivers one of the most compelling, probably my favorite MCU villain, Baron Zemo. I didn't know how they were going to integrate him in with this movie, but I mean, how they did it and everything. This gave birth to my favorite Marvel villain. I think he was fantastic. So yeah, Civil War.
All right. Captain America Civil War gets your number 9 spot, and it gets my number 8 spot for very similar reasons. And it's very watchable. I really enjoy the fight scene. I really enjoy the interesting reveal, the interesting tie-in to having the Winter Soldier be responsible for the death of Tony Stark's parents, the entire conflict between Tony and Captain America, the final battle with Tony and Bucky versus Captain America. Lest we not forget, I don't remember the actor's name. I don't know any actor's names today. Baron Zemo, fucking phenomenal in this film. And this is I think that maybe the first of these movies that really just felt like a huge event to me. This is when it really felt like, oh my God, this is the MCU. Like, even the Avengers.
I mean, they introduced Spider-Man. They introduced Black Panther. This was basically like a lighter Avengers film.
Yeah, 40. Yeah, I mean, yeah, not to be said. Both, we get the, somehow they were able to give us the debuts of two characters, both Spider-Man and Black Panther, and not make it feel like too much, which is really incredible. I don't even know how that's possible, because if you look at this movie on paper, it seems like, how could they do all this in one movie and not make it feel like a total mess? But they did. They somehow did, and it's just so much fun and so rewatchable. So now that is my number 8. What is your number 8, Andrew?
As much as I called him Iron Boy Jr., as much as I said he was just not, hitting home runs for me, how could I not have No Way Home ranked higher than most of these Marvel films? No Way Home is finally when I looked at Tom Holland and said, kids, you are freaking Spider-Man. This film brings up 3 generations of Spider-Man actors and, supporting cast and villains, and made it just such a trip. No Way Home is my favorite movie experience of this year. It is just so, so good. Even though it came out at the end of, 2021, it's my most favorite movie going experience in recent years.
All right. Moving on. Why don't you give me your, that was your number 8, right? Yeah, I'm on track. Okay. Why don't you give me your number 7?
Guardians of the Galaxy. This was the most out there, bonkers Marvel film, and it came right after You know, Captain America's second debut and Thor's second debut and Iron Man's third debut. I mean, this is when they were really like, let's go ahead and just go to the outer rim of this whole universe and actually see how far we could take the MCU. I mean, James Gunn made probably the most C-list characters, not just relevant, but a pop culture force du jour. It's just so good. And I listened to that soundtrack in college religiously my sophomore year it came out. This film just is so freaking classic.
I won't argue with you much there. My only complaint, well, I mean, I have some complaints, like some of the plot I think was a little bit iffy. By the way, Spider-Man No Way Home is my number six. I should jump to that before I start talking about it. No Way Home is my number six. Just a very fun movie experience. My biggest complaint of it is being that I knew about Toby and Andrew beforehand, and it's the age we live in. I wish I didn't know about any of this stuff before seeing it, because it would have had even so much more impact. Like, I was so jealous of my wife, who had no idea anything about this movie going in, and loves Toby Maguire's Spider-Man, had no clue he was going to be in the movie, and she just exploded in the theater, and it was just such a genuine reaction that I was jealous that I didn't have, because I was just waiting for it, as opposed to her that didn't have any idea it was happening. I think there are fair criticisms you can make about the plot. I think they did make Doctor Strange look like a fucking dummy by doing the whole spell, but whatever. This movie's so fucking fun. It is such a blast. And this is, some of these movies up here are kind of critically panned. Like, a lot of the like nerdy critics give this movie shit for reasons, whatever, that I can't necessarily say are incorrect when you break down the plot and the script, but I just don't care because it's so fucking fun. And so, help me, since I can't remember Hector's names today. My God, Green Goblin.
Oh, Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe is fucking amazing in this. He's better than he is in any of the other Spider-Man movies. He's turned into just an incredibly villainous, truly evil, murdering Aunt May, truly evil performance. And then that final fight where Toby... where Toby stops Tom Holland from
killing
the Green
Goblin. Did that not make your heart skip a beat?
Oh, my God. Like, literally. I just thinking about it gives me chills. Like, it is such an amazing moment. And it did so much to wrap up the story of Tobey Maguire too, even though maybe they'll do a Spider-Man 4 and they could really wrap it up for us, but it felt like a completion to that character, where, you know, Spider-Man 3 wasn't the best way for that character to be sent off, and if this is the last time we see Tobey in that role, I will feel like it's complete. And same thing with Willem Dafoe, although I really do hope they bring Willem Dafoe back in the MCU in some manner as this character. I think that would be phenomenal. There are totally ways that they could do it. So I would love to see that. But that being said, yeah, Spider-Man No Way Home lands at my number six spot, and I probably could have put it higher, but it is my number six. So what is yours, Ramsey?
Avengers. You know, this film, I think a lot of people look at it, especially with how Joss Whedon has aged over the last decade. Here's the truth. This film was a cinematic landmark. Never had any movie like this ever been done before. And the fact that they were able to pull it off in the way they did, by giving all the characters basically equal screen time while also advancing their own individual subplots, by making Loki into not just a actual like terrifying villain, but also just really expanding on him as a character. This is where I really felt like I saw Tom Hiddleston be Loki. I felt like he was just kind of not phoning it in, but like, I feel like we didn't get enough of the villainy in the first Thor, but this is where they really made Loki matter. And, you know, it also put shawarma on the culinary map. So, of course, I've got to have Avengers close to my top five. But number six, compared to especially some of the ones I'll list after that, I think it, you know, for me, at least, if you look at my list, it makes sense. I think I'm consistent.
All right. Well, shawarma has always been on my map. So I mean, you're a youngin', but if this movie served the purpose to introduce you to shawarma, then I'm very happy for that, because shawarma is fucking awesome.
Awesome.
All right. We are now in the. I'll hand it to you first. Why don't you go? We are now into the top five. So let's hear it, Remzo. What do we got?
I want to say we're in the end game now, but that's false marketing. Now. My number five is the original Iron Man film. Nothing happens without it. Robert Downey Jr. just gives the performance of his career. I mean, it even watching it now, I mean, for a film that came out in 2008, so much has changed. It feels a little bit dated, but my God, who doesn't want to be Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark? This was a role that a lot of people were like, can he do it? Will he do it? He owned it, and he birthed the franchise. because there are just some things that maybe were a bit spoiled on, usually I would have always said that by default, Iron Man should be everyone's favorite because everything follows the Iron Man, John Favreau plot sequence. But, you know, Iron Man just owns it. So that's my number five.
All right. I can't really argue with it. That's how crazy it is, even though I was, you know, later I was had it at 13, but I don't really counter anything you say. That's how tight, you know, this top half is. And my number five, Guardians of the Galaxy. James Gunn's awesome. This movie's fucking awesome. This at one point might have been my favorite movie, but you know, these things get pushed down. And it's just nonstop fun, amazing soundtrack, amazing acting. I could watch this movie every single day and probably never get bored of it. Guardians of the Galaxy is my number five. We now go into my number four. This is where things get very interesting. And I'm gonna talk about this without spoiling it, just in case people haven't seen it yet. But there could be recency bias. So I'm, you know, I think looking back at this in a few years will be interesting. But my God, I fucking love this movie so goddamn much. And it might even need to be higher. I kept it this low due to trying to factor in my recency bias. I love Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Loved, 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 loved. And it's interesting because this might become one of the most controversial Marvel movies. This is a 75 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is lower than Captain Marvel. This is a contentious movie. People either love it or hate it.
Those haters can go suck a dick. This movie rocks.
Those haters can suck a fucking dick because this movie's awesome. Benedict Cumberbatch playing multiple versions of Doctor Strange, some more villainous than others, some outright super villainous, some sort of partway villainous. So Chito Gomez as America Chavez was awesome. And the Scarlet Witch.
I'm gonna scared stop. And horny at the same time because I know I was.
Elizabeth Olsen has accomplished the ability to and Sam Raimi and the horror elements of this movie, like, oh my God, this was a Sam Raimi movie, and I'm a huge Sam Raimi fan. Some might say not that much because I didn't know he did Darkman, so I'm sorry, but my God, I love, there's so many Evil Dead type callbacks in this. There's callbacks to other horror movies like The Ring. It's just so fucking cool, and I wish I could say more why, but because it's still relatively new and we didn't advertise this as a spoiler thing, I will not spoil it. But let me just say, if you don't love this movie, you're just not a good person. that's all I'm going to say. That's my review. So Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness is my number four movie.
We're back in sync again. It's my number four. This is like, listeners know, especially for most of the episodes I've produced of FSBC, I love horror. You give me comic book superhero horror and I am just eating it up all day. I fucking loved this movie. It is not just one of my favorite MCU films. It's one of my top movies, period. I loved it. So yeah, Multiverse of Madness, number four. And coming soon, a full review of the film. Make sure you're subscribing so you get that later in the feed.
Yeah, and it probably already happened. Since we're recording all this out of order, but yeah, cool.
It's a podcast of madness.
Why don't we let you do the wraparound here? Let's get to your number three.
Endgame. I mean, just this film just defies all my usual standards. Is it good for new people? Is this good for people who have loved it? This is not a movie for just somebody that got bored on a Sunday. This is a love letter to comic book fans. I put it on the same tier as Zack Snyder's Justice League. This was done by fans, for fans, because of fans. And this is the reason why we love comic books. This is why we love this mythology, this lore. This movie will go down as, I think it's beat Avatar multiple times. It will always be one of the greatest cinematic masterpieces ever made.
All right. Well, this one's obviously contentious now, because my number three is one you ranked astonishingly low to me. I love this movie. It sets up the movie you just talked about. I love Infinity War. I think it's fucking awesome. I love Thanos just going on a rampage. And when I watched this in the theaters, yeah, I guess I should have known this because I knew there was going to be a two-part movie. But when he got the Infinity Gauntlet and actually accomplish the snap, and we see like heroes you just wouldn't, like the newest heroes that everyone loves disappearing. Spider-Man, Black Panther.
Black Panther the movie was still in theaters when Infinity War came out.
Was it really? Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I mean these characters that, I mean, yes, of course, this is comics. You know they're going to come back. You know they're not really dead, but in the moment, I mean, even and the death of Vision, my God, when Scarlet Witch sacrificed her and him and it became nothing, which sets up her entire character arc going forward, and just, it's not often you see a villain win, even though if you know it's going to be reversed in some way, shape, or form, and you know they'll end up defeating him, but my God, it's so fucking good, and I can't believe you ranked it as low as you did. I respect it. I don't understand it, but not me, my friend, not me. It is my number three Marvel film, Avengers Infinity War, number three.
Well, my number two is probably the one that you're gonna be like, really? But at the end of the day, folks, these are all just our personal opinions. My number two MCU film is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I think you get the better performances of the Guardians cast. I love that it's just a good, clean standalone, especially amongst Phase 3 films. It's also my mom's favorite MCU film, and I enjoy. She does not usually go to the movies with me, but I really wanted her to go see this with me because she liked the first Guardians, and she says it's her favorite. We've watched it together on TV multiple times. It's also one of my fiance's favorites. So I mean, I just because of the love it brings and the warm memories I remember of us all enjoying it, laughing together. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is my number two.
All right. Very, very interesting. Well, my number two, which I guess spoiler alert, is going to have to by default be your number one. So I'll also say my number one in this whole thing. So I think we all know what's going on here at this point. And this was close. And honestly, I know it's going to be your number one now. So and it was hard for me because this has long been my favorite Marvel film. But my number one just put it slightly over the edge, but very close, and a very, very difficult distinction to make, as all of these movies, especially as we've gotten closer to number one, have been. But I love Captain America and the Winter Soldier, which I know is obviously going to be your number one by default.
It's
here.
My number one pick.
Yes, it's a great spy movie. It's a great action movie. It's a great Captain America movie. It's a great comic book movie. It's a great warning of totalitarianism movie. It ticks all my boxes, Remzo. It ticks my political boxes, my philosophical boxes, my film boxes, my comic book boxes. This movie's fucking amazing, and you know, I'll explain why it's not number one, but it's I could have done it either way. I could have flipped these very, very easily. And so obviously then Avengers Endgame is my number one because this movie just had everything. And man, I mean, for everything you described it about it, your number three applies to it at my number one. I love the time heist. I love how they did everything with, you know, connecting to the other films in a way that didn't feel absurd, like having the other characters interact. Hey, it set up the Loki series, which is fucking amazing. And it's just a goddamn blast. And I think what puts it over the edge, what makes it number one for me, is the completion of Captain America's story arc and how he got to, you know, live off in the sunset, live his whole life with Peggy Carter, have that last dance, which seemed like it was never going to happen for him. It seemed like he would never get this love back in his life. And it completed his arc in so many ways. I love when he fights the young version of himself and I could do this all day with himself. I fucking love that. This movie like solidified Steve Rogers, the character in the MCU for me. Not solidified. I mean, and Winter Soldier did that, but really wrapped up this character's arc and is the best Avengers movie. I love all the characters in this movie. They somehow were able to manage all these characters and that final battle scene. I mean, on your left, dude, I got chills with on your left.
The theater erupted in applause when I saw it.
I mean, yeah, mine as well. I think every theater erupted in applause. And then Peter, you know, reuniting with Tony and Tony only dying later, knowingly sacrificing himself at really completing his character arc as well. I mean, I think that was a big arc of a character that was touched on in several movies, that he was selfish, that he was never the one to make the sacrifice. And then he does make the sacrifice to save the world and save everybody. And it was just such a moment. I don't know if I've had a theater experience with this many, wow, this many cheers, this many standing up. I mean, the whole theater applauded when this movie filmed, when this movie ended. So if that doesn't land something at number one, I don't know what does. Avengers Endgame is my number one. And as I mentioned, obviously that makes Captain America, the Winter Soldier, your number one. We were pretty close on this one either way. But Remzo, lay out your case for the Winter Soldier as your number one film.
Captain America slowly became the heart of the MCU. And I mean slowly. His first film did not get great reviews. He actually got made fun of a lot by the audience when they came out with his, let's just say, his not best costume. And, you know, he didn't really jive with the rest of the team. I mean, that's part of his story. But Captain America wasn't cool. People made fun of Captain America. The Winter Soldier not only made Captain America freaking cool, it made him matter. It was one of the first real genre switches. And for the Russos making it their first action film, it was just one of those moments where it's like nobody was expecting it to be as cool as it was. Now, a lot of people knew who Bucky Barnes the Winter Soldier was, and they were familiar with the story. So for that, people were excited. But no one was necessarily excited to see Chris Evans again. This movie made Chris Evans Steve Rogers, as far as I'm concerned. And it was that way for many people. No one makes fun of Cap anymore. People will say the Cap is their favorite hero. And if it weren't for this movie, he would not be the heart and soul of the MCU that he has been for the last 2.5 phases. So, I mean, I've probably seen this movie more than any other Marvel flick. It has action that borderlines on John Wick. I love that Robert Redford was cast in a role that kind of reminds you of, the 3 Days of the Condor, that 1970s espionage thriller flick he did. I love those early Cold War type films. Everything about this movie is just great, from the score to the special effects. I'm a big Frank Grillo fan. I can't find anything I really dislike about this film. It is, for me, the film that solidified that the MCU isn't just a franchise that has a bunch of, like, you know, chapters that you kind of feel obligated to see. They've got movies that you want to see because they're genuinely good movies. And this is everything you want and more in one Marvel flick. If I had to pick any MCU film to stick in a time capsule and, like, shoot it off into space to show the best of humanity to aliens, it would be the Winter Soldier.
I can't really argue with that. I was kind of the same way, and pretty much everything with Captain America has aged very well for me. Like, as I mentioned earlier, the first Avenger was not my favorite movie. I actually kind of thought it was boring at first, and the more I've watched it, the more I watch it in the context of his entire character arc within the MCU, which runs through Winter Soldier and culminates in Endgame. I think his story, it's tough because Tony's arc is pretty incredible too, with his final sacrifice in Endgame. But I gotta say, I think I like Captain America's arc the best of anybody in the MCU, because it starts in fucking World War II. It doesn't get much better than that, and it ends with him finally getting that last dance and living his life with Peggy Carter. And that is kind of why Endgame just finished a little bit ahead for me, but it was so close. Like I said, I could put either of those movies at number one, and to me, these are both 5-star films. These are both the cream of the crop, and I really won't argue anything you said about Winter Soldier. It's a fantastic movie, and I could have, these are 1 and 1A really for me. That being said, I have crunched the numbers. I have done the math. Are you ready for me to reveal the final official SPC MCU movie rankings, Remzo? Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
From bottom to top, we'll start with number 28. The Eternals. no surprise there. By far our consensus pick and the thing we agree upon the most by far of anything in the universe. Number 27, Thor the Dark World. Number 26, Captain Marvel. Number 25, Iron Man 2. Number 24, Thor. Number 23, Ant-Man. Number 22, Spider-Man Far From Home, our consensus least favorite Spider-Man film. Number 21, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Number 20, Black Widow. Number 19, Iron Man 3. And I'm willing to bet Iron Man 3 is higher on our list than any other list out there, because it's almost universally ranked as one of the worst movies in the MCU, which I think is just silly. While it's certainly not one of the best, calling it one of the worst is absurd. I would watch this movie all day long before I ever watch Eternals again. Yeah, of course. It's a Christmas movie.
I'm going to watch it this
18,
Christmas.
Remzo's Christmas movie list.
That and that Shazam.
Remzo's Christmas, retroactive Christmas movies list. Number 18, Spider-Man Homecoming. Number 17, The Incredible Hulk. This is, I think, actually, that's huge. I mean, that is,
That actually surprises me.
It either doesn't make most lists or it is, like, very close to the bottom, much like Iron Man 3 is. So I think both of us are way higher on Incredible Hulk than pretty much anybody else. They do.
Yes, other people have the right to their wrong opinions.
Number 16, Avengers Age of Ultron. Number 15, Doctor Strange. Number 14, Black Panther. Probably lower than it is on most lists. It typically does land in the top 10, but we still really liked it. It's just, like we said a few times, it's abundance of wealth at this point. Number 13, this is actually a tie for number 13. It's a tie between Shang-Chi and Captain America, the First Avenger. Both very fine. Maybe the two best origin films. Well, Iron Man's in there right too.
Oh. If you had to pick right now, if you had to watch one of those movies.
Probably Shang-Chi, to be honest.
Shang-Chi,
just fun. You know, it's like I don't have to think about it. There's no lulls. I mean, it's just so much fun. And that is, and it never slows down. So I think I would watch Shang-Chi, but it's close.
I feel like I really have to be in the mood to watch First Avenger, where Shang-Chi, I could like turn it on in the background and enjoy it.
Yes, exactly. Because you got to really kind of pay attention to the First Avenger. It's more story driven than action driven. It's kind of like an Alan Moore or a Neil Gaiman book. I got to be in the right mood. Agreed. To sit down and watch it. It's not really a background kind of deal. Avengers, number 11 is the Avengers. Number 10, Thor Ragnarok, typically lands in the top 5 on a lot of lists too. We're a little bit lower on that than most. Number 9, Infinity War. This is all due to you ranking it so incredibly bafflingly low,
but
well, it is what it is.
What was it?
It was, let's see, let's go. It was your 13.
Oh, 16. That's at the cusp. I stand by that.
That, I think that's probably our biggest disagreement is our biggest disagreements are Infinity War, Doctor Strange. I'm way, way higher on Doctor Strange and Spider-Man Homecoming. I'm much higher on Spider-Man Homecoming. Let's see. Number 8 is Iron Man, original Iron Man. Number 7 is Avengers Civil War. It is basically Avengers.
Everyone was there.
Yeah, they just needed a Captain America movie. So they're like, yeah. Yeah, I mean it's truly it's the other Avengers movie. I don't know why it's a Captain America movie, but you know, I guess it is, you know, it's through his story arc, but let's be honest, this is an Avengers movie. This is really the real Avengers 3. Let's see. Number 6, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Now we're in the golden circle, the top 5. Number 5, Spider-Man No Way Home. Honestly, over, all these movies I could watch over. Like anytime and be totally happy with them. Yeah. Spider-Man No Way Home, number 4, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 1, number 3. This might even get higher for me as time goes on. I mean, I've only seen it once still, so I who knows, but I loved it so much. Again, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is funny that it's our number 3 because we both ranked it at number 4. But it became our number 3 just due to the math. Funny how that works. Then our consensus number 2, Avengers Endgame, and finally, the consensus. Not consensus, we were one off, but by the point system consensus, number 1 MCU film is Captain America, The Winter Soldier. And even though I ranked it number 2 instead of number 1, I am perfectly happy with it landing as our number 1 because it's truly just a fantastic film.
Yeah. What number was Spider-Man Homecoming again?
Pretty low, 18. That's all because of you. I had it pretty high.
Yeah, but I'm very satisfied that Winter Soldier made it to number 1.
I agree. No argument. I'm happy with the number 1, and I'm happy with the number 28. I mean,
that's a pretty good place to land.
I don't understand anybody that could say this is better than Incredible Hulk or Iron Man 3. That's just fucking absurd. That's just plain goddamn.
I mean, I would say that Eternals is the least MCU film, which is baffling because you have all these, like, you know, overpaid critics on, like, Rotten Tomatoes saying this is, you know, Multiverse of Madness is, you know, the most non-Marvel film. I'm like, but Eternals, like, it didn't feel that way. Like, it was wrong. It was directorially wrong. It was, the screenplay was wrong. You don't fucking cover up Selma Hayek. Like, it's just
and Angelina Jolie. My God.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they hated it. It feels like they hated the MCU. That's how I felt about Eternals. I felt like they hated the MCU.
Well, I'm pretty sure Chloe Zhao said she like doesn't even like watch MCU movies and doesn't know anything about the Eternals. And
yeah,
I think that all shows. Alrighty, well, that wraps it up, Remzo. This was a fun little side adventure here from our normal format. But I think this is one I don't want to commit to this, but it would be fun to revisit this in 5 years. But my God, how many more movies are we going to have to rank in 5 years? I don't. another 28. I think another 28. And don't even get me started on the Disney Plus shows. I mean, that's going to be have to be its own other thing. I will see.
Wherever we place Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will piss off half the audience.
I've never watched 1 second of that show.
That will have already pissed off half the audience.
Really? Are there Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan community is... You want to talk about toxic fandom? The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. community. I don't get it.
And Sam Jackson's not even in this movie, in the show, right?
No, well, he's in two episodes. He's in a two-episode deal.
That would be the only appeal I could imagine. If Sam Jackson was in it regularly, I probably would have watched it.
My brother Ryan loves this show at like a fanatic level I don't understand. After season one, I was like, I'm out.
I still have to watch... I never saw Punisher. I've only seen his Daredevil season two. I never actually watched the Punisher. So I'm going to watch that before I get to say
it. Let's put it this way. Punisher season one was a drudge, and I didn't even bother watching season two.
I didn't even know there was a season two.
There was a season two. Well, nobody really did.
I really enjoyed Jon Bernthal in Daredevil, but I just never got around to it. But maybe it sounds like that's fine.
Like a lot of things, I think it's less about the actors. It's more about the story and the writing. And I think depending on who the writers and the directors are, I think that changes it. Because a lot of these films, like no one can complain that Robert Downey Jr. is probably the best actor in the MCU. But notice where his films fall. And there's such a discrepancy between the first Iron Man and Iron Man 2. It has nothing to do with his ability of an actor or the cast or anything. It always has to do with how it's written.
Absolutely.
But these are just our opinions, folks. We have the right to be right.
Just opinions, folks. You can express your opinions. Well, you can express them however you want. But if you want to express them inside the Second Print Comics fan zone, you can get access to that on Facebook by joining our Patreon, patreon.com/secondprintpod, where you could also hear this episode earlier than anyone else, where you could also hear Remzo and Caleb's review of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. You could have heard my instant non-spoiler reaction to Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. That's why we didn't really go into details about that film in this episode, because we have not publicly released the spoiler episode. We're trying to give a few weeks at least of respect to let people. But frankly, if you didn't see it the first weekend, what kind of fan are you? Let's be honest. But anyway,
we hate nonetheless,
you. Yes, Remzo, it has been an absolute blast. We'll see if we revisit this in a few years, if we can maintain our sanity enough to do so. Until next time, I want to continue to encourage everybody to read comics or watch movies.
And change the world. Good night, America.
Adios, amigos.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.